In the introit of today's Mass, we read, Thou art just, O Lord, and thy judgment is right. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about this. 2020. It's not been a very good year for any of us. But as 2020 vision is perfect sight, so this year of 2020, we've seen many things come to light in our government, in the world, and in our own souls, how we deal with such hardships. But St. Paul tells us in this morning's epistle, he encourages his followers, the Ephesians, and ultimately us too. He says, Brethren, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in charity, careful to keep the unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. That is what he tells us. But I've been wanting to give a sermon on why God permits such awful things to happen, as he has all year long, without a stop. Remember this, that God has always dealt with the human race so very patiently. That is the reason that we are still here. The angels had one shot at their eternal salvation. But you and I, he gives us 80 years, 90 years sometimes if we're lucky, fall after fall after fall into sin. And he is patient with us, waiting for us to renounce our sins and to amend our life. And so he continues. But at a certain point, Almighty God always announces the punishments that he justly sends to the world in his goodness. We think of the Ninevites in the Old Testament. He acted this way to them. He told them, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. He didn't mince words to the Ninevites. But upon hearing this, one would think that God was totally, absolutely embittered against that city, that there was no changing his mind, if you can say so about God. But that warning was actually a great mercy shown to the Ninevites. St. John Chrysostom says about that situation, he says, My God, what are you doing? Why do you announce the punishment before you send it? And God answers, I do so that I may not be obliged to punish, that my threats may not have to be fulfilled. That is why he sent those threats. And the Ninevites found that out firsthand, how true that statement is. Because when they heard the sermon of Jonas, they immediately began doing penance, and they appeased God's anger, and his wrath was averted from that city. We think of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh acted cruelly toward the Israelites and persecuted the people of God. Do you know from sacred scripture about the many plagues that God had sent to the land of Egypt as a result of these persecutions? Pharaoh would not listen, but he warned him, because not one of those plagues was sent to Pharaoh and Egypt before God had sent Moses to preach it to them. If you do not let my people go, God said through Moses, I will kill thy son, thy firstborn, and I will send a plague of grasshoppers. And then the list of plagues would go on. Pharaoh did not listen. and therefore the plagues came. When God was going to send Jerusalem into the hands of its enemies, he sent Isaiah to preach. When he threatened the Jewish people with slavery under the Assyrians, he sent the prophet Jeremiah to preach. He was bound in chains. And when he was about to send a famine to Jerusalem, Ezekiel, the prophet, had nothing to eat. He was going to send a famine. Someone had to do the penance. So it was Ezekiel who had nothing to eat but the dung of cows and oxen for 390 days. Now, all these things were signs of God's future wrath. They were warnings, but at the same time, proof of his present mercy. King David said, "Thou hast given a warning to them that fear thee, that they may flee from before the bow, that thy beloved may be delivered." Public calamities are proofs of God's mercy to sinners. This is our second point of the sermon. He never sends them, these calamities, upon a country except on account of the sins of the people. God's goal, therefore, in sending these calamities is this: to humble man, to punish in a very fatherly way, so that we may enter into ourselves, reflect on the state of our souls, do penance, amend our lives, and thus escape eternal punishments. There's a beautiful story that illustrates this. St. Francis de Sales, or rather St. Francis of Assisi, once entered the city where there was nothing but weeping and sorrow. You could say it was a bit like our country today. In that city, all of the cattle had been devoured by wolves. The corn was destroyed by constant hailstorms. They had nothing. But St. Francis immediately spoke to them and said to the people of the city that God in his mercy is visiting you with these punishments because of sin. If you wish to be freed of these punishments, then it lies in your hands to do so. Remove the cause, he said. Repent and amend your lives, and the scourge will cease. That city listened. The wolves disappeared. The hailstorms stopped. Although there were still some hailstorms, they melted before they came to the land of penitent people. Or we look at the city of Constantinople. At one time, they were just ravaged with earthquakes. And St. John Chrysostom said, he lived through them, he said, "Blessed be those earthquakes." He was talking to his people. "You see in these earthquakes a calamity, but I praise and bless God for sending them. God deserves our gratitude for sending them our way." And why? He continues, "Because the shaking and trembling of the earth is a voice that cries out to our hearts that being led to repentance by fear, we may avoid a far worse punishment." He sends these punishments to bring back the sinner. One more example is the story of Absalom, who was the son of King David. Absalom had rebelled against his father. And what did King David do? He did not sit back and allow him to do whatever he wanted. Rather, he got his army together to go after Absalom and his rebels, but with one instruction: save me the boy, Absalom. Do nothing to him. As if to say that, as if King David were saying, "I am going to punish you for this, but you will be spared." God does this with us all the time. The human race may be punished, but it is to bring back that Absalom, that sinner. Now, going back to our situation, 2020. Since January, it's been filled with one trial after another, without break. Political woes, false accusations against our president, hoax impeachment trials, and all sorts of persecution against the leader of our country. There has been the COVID hoax. Remember, if this were a true pandemic, we would not have been standing for all of 2020 having debates over whether this is a true pandemic or not. It would be obvious. But that is used as a mask, so to speak, for covering up what the communistic and socialist Marxists are doing to our country and throughout the world. We have seen, furthermore, the restrictions of our rights, the most basic. One lady was arrested for going to a high school football game in Ohio without a mask. It's not even a law, but she was arrested. We have seen the death of our loved ones, the illnesses of our loved ones. For months, remember, we were doing Mass in secret so that we could continue the Mass. We have seen the culture wars in our country, the destruction of anything historical that reminds us of what our past is, whether it be secular or whether it be religious. These people want to annihilate history, a new beginning. That's how they always start in every country. And we might be tempted to look at all of this in a very natural frame of mind and almost hate, with a pure hatred, the evildoers. But aren't we Catholics? And aren't we supposed to believe that the hand of God is behind everything? God is behind this too. God has been patient. He has asked us to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart. That was never done. He has watched us as men destroy his church. And he has been patient, silent. As people advocate for abortion and say that adultery is okay, the pedophile people out there, some places they want to make it legal. Worldwide turning away from Almighty God. And yet throughout, for many years, God has been patient. But now his fatherly hand strikes. Why? For the same reasons of his goodness and his mercy, that through these trials and through this fear, we might look into ourselves, every single one of us, then repent, do penance, and amend our lives. So to close, what are our duties now? The here and now, every one of us. The first is the duty of penance. First, if you live in mortal sin, then turn back to God now. Secondly, we all must perform acts of self-denial, just small ones. Even just the perfect fulfillment of our duties is a penance. And we must do these acts of self-denial in reparation for not just our own sins, but the sins of all mankind. The second duty is prayer. The Mass, remember, was almost taken away. Maybe the next time it will be taken away, to speak bluntly. But God did protect us. And why? For this very reason, that we might still be able to pray publicly. Come to the Mass. It is a supreme act of reparation. And those of you that come for Sundays, come for an extra Mass. It is the time to do prayer and penance. And pray the Rosary, of course, which has been the remedy for so many evils. And the third duty is a personal duty, that of preserving through all of these trials the peace of heart and of soul. This is done through prayer, through spiritual reading, by constantly being in contact with the supernatural, the things of God. Do not let these other trials pull you away from the things of God. Rather, let them draw you back to the things of God. It's in this way, to conclude, that we may perhaps yet be able to avert coming punishments and hardships that we have seen all year long. But it's through our prayers and our penance. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.